Merry Christmas. It is so good to be here with you as we celebrate this day in honor of our Savior's birth. Family trees tell a lot about ourselves, not only our ethnicity, where we're from, might even give us a clue about why we are predisposed to some things. The gospel we heard of the genealogy of Jesus Christ beginning at the time of Abraham. And if you're interested about learning how many generations it was from Abraham to Adam, it's 19. Christmas is the day in which we celebrate Jesus' actual day of birth. He came to offer us salvation from unending death. It has been a long-awaited event. If you're quick on the math, going from the time of Adam to Jesus, that would be 61 generations. And remember, some of them lived more than 100 years. For the Jewish people, that would have been 42 generations. All that time had been in anticipation for the coming of Christmas. Think about waiting that long. Having faith for that long. Sometimes when we are waiting for our popcorn to come out of the microwave, we can't wait the 2 to 4 minutes. We just stare, hoping that by our staring it will speed up time. And how much patience did the people of Israel had for the coming of Christ? So to say that this is a tremendous blessing that we live in this age, here and now, is an understatement. While some remain far from Jesus, even during this time, God in His unending love is still calling people to Himself into the fullness of the faith, our Catholic faith. Roy Shulman authored a book entitled Salvation is from the Jews. He was a Jew that was born in New York, and when he went to MIT, he lost his faith. He considered joining the Hasidic community in Israel, but instead joined Harvard Business School. It was there that he fell into despair as he questioned the meaning of life. Science had taught him that it had all the answers, which he explains is really a pseudo-scientific approach. If there exists physical evidence that contradicts this materialistic worldview, it's only logical to recognize that there are things beyond our comprehension. Some of the things in which he recalls are the miracle that took place at Fatima, where 70,000 people were present, believers and atheists alike, the many documented miracles that took place at Lourdes and still take place at Lourdes. And when they recognize things as miracles, they actually use real science to kind of figure out and weed out whether or not it is a verifiable miracle or if natural causes could have explained why this person was healed. The existence of the Shroud of Turin and the Tilma of Guadalupe. I'd also like to add the amazing amount of Eucharistic miracles that have happened throughout our world, throughout time. I was very privileged and blessed a couple months ago to go to Italy, where I went to Lanciano, where they had the Eucharistic miracle there of the Holy Eucharist, both the sacred body and precious blood of our Lord Jesus, turning into actual flesh, actual blood. There's videos about it, articles about it. Go to YouTube, you can find a lot of information on it. But it's beautiful to hear that the Eucharist, you know, when they had done tests, scientific tests, without knowing where the sample came from, said it was cardiac tissue, and also that the blood, they were able to identify it as AB. But one day, while Roy was walking down the beach, he found himself, he says, falling into heaven, where he encounters this anonymous God, and his life flashed before him in an instant. He realized that all the things in which he did had consequences, good and bad, that would persist for all eternity. He also saw how every opportunity that was lost would be lost for all eternity. He lamented at the fact that there had been times where he thought himself alone, for in that instant did he realize that God was always with him. Whenever Roy was happy, God was happy with him. Whenever Roy was sad, God was sad with him. Having felt this experience, he longed to know his name and said, "Let me know your name. I don't mind if you are Buddha and I have to become a Buddhist. I don't mind if you are Apollo and I have to become a Roman pagan. I don't mind if you are Krishna and I have to become a Hindu, as long as you are not Christ and I have to become a Christian." Well, with such words, God didn't reveal who he was. But from that day, every day, he would pray that he may come to know this God who loved him so much, that he might render him due honor, worship, and praise. 1 year from this encounter, Roy dreamed of a beautiful young woman. And without being told anything, he knew that it was the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was so glorious to behold. He confessed regret that he didn't at least know the Hail Mary. This beautiful woman had told him, "Ask me for whatever you want, any questions that you have." Roy's first inclination was to ask her how to pray the Hail Mary, but he figured he'd better use his time more wisely than that. And so he asked her, "What prayer do you like the best?" And she said rather coyly, "Oh, I like all the prayers that are offered to me." Being a Jew, being from New York, he pressed on further. "Come on, you know, there's got to be a prayer. There's got to be something you like." And so she responded, but in Portuguese, which he had no idea how to say. But he remembered the words phonetically, making sure to write them down when he woke up. Later on, he found himself in the presence of a Catholic Portuguese woman, and he asked her, "Well, can you recite all the prayers that you know?" And he found the one. "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." Going back to this encounter, the purity, the intensity, the greatness of her love for him just poured forth into his heart, that he said he found himself in inexpressible bliss. He was also enamored by her exaltedness, her grandeur, and just finally stammered out, "How can it be that you're so magnificent, that you're so exalted?" And she said, "Oh no, you don't understand. You don't understand anything. I am a created thing. I am a creature. He's everything." He woke up and knew that it was Jesus whom he saw the previous year, and understood right then and there that he had to become a Christian. Eventually he found himself entering into the Catholic Church, because it was there that Mary was honored and revered and became a Catholic. He said this was what a Jew was supposed to do from the beginning. He explained that the Catholic Church is simply the continuation and fulfillment of Judaism after the first coming of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. In such a case, it is the Jews who accepted him and became the first Christians who stayed within the core of Judaism, while those who rejected him left the mainstream, the fullness of the truth of the religion. For those wondering about the existence of the Jews now and any purpose that they serve, he says, go take a look at St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. Another Jew who also came into the Catholic faith was Charlie Rich. He also was a Hasidic Jew that also struggled with the meaning of life. So much so that he attempted to take his life. He had bought some rat poison from the local hardware store and thought I'd go up to my room, take it, and end it all. At the time, he was living with his mother. Well, as he found himself going up the stairs to his room, his mother called out for him, "Charlie, Charlie, I just made some bagels for you. Have a bagel." Charlie thought to himself, "Okay, I might as well have a bagel. Make her happy before I die." So he goes, sits down, eats a bagel. And after he finishes that, she says, "Charlie, I made them for you. Have another one." All right, he'll make her happy. I'll have another one. So he goes and eats it. Then he goes up to his room, closes the door, and takes the poison. A couple of hours later, he wakes up violently ill. He didn't die. The baking soda used in the leavening of the bagels acted as an antidote to the rat poison. After his failed third attempt to take his life on a summer's day, this was around the 1950s, no air conditioning, so he sought to go into a cooler building. And he went to this large structure that was very dark and indeed was much better than the outside. It was a Catholic church. There he found himself sitting in the pew next to a stained glass window that had an image of Jesus calming the waters. And he said to himself, "Oh, if it were only true." And then he hears, "It is all true." At that moment, he instantly received the grace of faith. He knelt, wept, went to a priest so that he could get baptized. Charlie said, "It would in my case have been in vain to have been born had God not been good enough to extend me the grace to become a member of the mystical body of Christ, the Church of Rome is. Without the life Christ is, there is no life at all. It is for heaven we have been made and for no other earthly good thing. I became a Catholic so that I may in that way be happy, not just for a few years, but forever and ever. I became a Catholic that I may in that way get the grace to one day participate in the joys of the angels and saints in the life to come. One can never come to an end of enumerating the blessings conferred upon him by the grace of becoming a Catholic. Can the mercy of God be made more manifest than in the grace extended to us to become members of the only true church? It is becoming a Catholic that matters, and not in any other thing the world has to offer, be this good and beautiful as it may. The Church of Rome gives us God Himself. It does so in all His fullness. A greater gift than God is, a human being cannot hope to receive. We receive the gift God Himself is when we receive Holy Communion. Can Protestantism or Judaism endow the soul with such a sublime gift? It is to the church we must go, to have God in the fullness he may be experienced by us this side of heaven. To become more intimately united with God than the church enables us to be by means of the holy sacraments, we must take leave of this life." Charlie died at the age of 99. The website form.org has the audiobook Salvationists from the Jews that is read by the author himself, Roy Shoman. We have a subscription so that you can listen to that as well as other things for free. I think in an age where Catholics are tempted to abandon ship, to leave the Catholic faith, this is a reminder for us that the fullness of faith remains here. Although undoubtedly it is marred by the sins of man, she remains for all time the bride of Christ. For this was Jesus born, for this did he come to die, to bear witness to the truth, so upon knowing the truth and living it, we may enter into his joy for all eternity.